And up a level to the NBA, where a lot of the activity, of course, right now, is happening off the court. The big news over the last couple of days has been a tweet storm from Kevin Durant, in which he sort of took it upon himself to criticize his old teammates, his coaches, and doing a number of other things on Twitter in response to some criticism that he got from some people on Twitter, like you do. We're joined now on the air by Dr. Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School professor and sports commentator, to talk about this. Dr. Stroman, thanks for joining us, and what do you make of Kevin Durant?
Well, thank you. Well, there is no doubt that as much as Kevin Durant has been arguably one of the best basketball players on the planet for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and then he moved over to the Golden State Warriors, he continues to keep a little cloud like following him. I don't know if you remember the Peanuts cartoon. What was it, Pigpen?
Oh, Pigpen, yeah.
Yes, that had that little cloud around him. But he just won a championship. He's still young, 28 years old. Some people say he, instead of beating them, he joined them. But he's on this squad where arguably you could get another two or three rings. And yet we see that Kevin is still suffering from, I guess, a sense of not being able to turn the cheek or take a blind eye to criticism. And so Kevin, he created a shadow Twitter account, and he used that to actually criticize his old team, Oklahoma City Thunder, but he forgot to turn off his main Twitter account. And so it went out all across the airways that he didn't like the organization or playing for Coach Billy Donovan.
Oh, God.
He talked about his buddy Russell Westbrook, who was last year's most valuable player, or MVP, I should say. And they talked about how he talked about in the third person how he can't win a championship with those teammates. So it's everything from managing PR to what's going on with Kevin Durant in his head, how his teammates will feel at the Warriors, unnecessary publicity. And then people are just questioning, who is this guy?
Oh, man. So, I mean, we've talked about this recently, the common problem if you are managing a public Twitter account or some businesses or some organization's Twitter account, and then you've got your own personal one. Ted Cruz had the same problem recently, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, same exact thing. So, with a slightly different result, I think. But how endemic is this to sort of high-level athletes in general? I know in order to get to that position, you've got to be extremely competitive. So the idea of not being able to handle criticism, but not being able to let the past go, constantly striving to seeing every interaction as a competition and trying to win it, I have to imagine that it's got to be at least slightly endemic among top-level athletes. I remember Michael Jordan, when he gave his Hall of Fame speech, it was nothing but an hour of that, right? Criticizing people who had run him down in the past and saying, look at me, and this was a guy with rings on both hands because he's got more rings than there are fingers on one hand, and he still couldn't let it go. So how common is this?
Well, I think you're really speaking about mental health of elite performers. And we know that everybody was excited, at least for the athletes, although there was talk that they are a bunch of whiny little millionaires. Other people looked at how they are exploited. Mm-hmm. And then when you have the advancement in technology, the ability to speak to your own fan base, and you don't have to go to a radio station, a newspaper, you don't have to have an article written, that you can speak to them directly, people were excited. No more exploitation, at least in the media. You can control your own story. And we saw the proliferation of a number of these types of media outlets to do just that. And case in point, I want to mention the Players Tribune, which is a Derek Jeter venture. But it's a place where athletes can tell their own story in the first person. And so you introduce Twitter. And so a lot of the elite athletes, they do have their own Twitter account, so they can control the narrative or go against what management or ownership or the league office might be saying. But on that other side, when you bring in the mental health, when a lot of these guys, as we know, especially the elite athletes, they've been babied for, I'd say, at least from sixth grade on. This great talent is identified, and all of a sudden they get free food at the cafeteria. They all of a sudden get buddies and get put in line early. They don't necessarily have to take XYZ courses or go to particular required events. And then we get into high school and college, and it's oftentimes repeated. No one wants to make them be independent. Instead is, how can I help you? Because we know you're going to be a great athlete, and we want to make sure that you're focusing on your athletics, as in we want to help you get to the next level. Well, with that help comes the sacrifice of what they should be learning at the tender age in, you know, high school, college. Mm-hmm. And so you become a pro, and now you have a Twitter account. And I'm not here to criticize anybody's usage of King's English, because I'm human and I make mistakes as well. But you'll see some of the writing, it's very poor, and you can't blame it on 140 characters. You see people who make accusations or false statements about things that are going on, because if you go back in time, they were babied from day one when their athletic skills were identified. And so you have someone like a Kevin Durant, who you would think, I mean, you're on top of the world. You have all the money. You've got a great mom who supported you. It seems like he's got great friends. And in fact, I know one of them who's really close to Kevin. So why are you still nitpicking on a team that you weren't able to step up and help, even though you had a 3-1 lead against the Golden State Warriors, the team that you decided to move to? You had a 3-1 lead. You couldn't close it out in the conference finals. And now you're still spending time or having this tweet ready for people who would critique you. I say it's definitely a mental issue concern.
Well, you're mentioning mental health there with the way that athletes are treated. And it's also, I think, a thing with celebrities in general, right? Because it's everything that you mentioned.
Yes.
And then on top of that, you are, especially when you get to that level, top level college, and then even more so when you're in the pros, you are in the spotlight 24/7. And I don't think anyone fully understands until it happens to them the intense pressure that creates, and that has a mental health impact too.
Most definitely. There's nowhere that you can go outside of your home where you aren't possibly judged or critiqued or observed to have done XYZ wrong or right. And then with the advances in technology, it gets spread all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So something as simple as, I've finished eating with my friends and family. The restaurant gave me a quiet corner. No one interrupted. Now I'm walking to my car with my friend, partner, relative, and all of a sudden you decide that you're not in the mood to do some autographs.
Yep.
Maybe you just want to hustle to your car, and then it gets tweeted that, or a video that you're a jerk or you were mean, or look at the clothes that you had on, as in you didn't have on your $1 million wardrobe.
Yep.
that day or that evening. So that pressure is very, very real. And so we have to look at, what are the outlets for these athletes? Do we wonder why they are so insular, or why they want their parents to come live with them? I was watching a piece on Ezekiel Elliott, who's been in the news, the star running back, formerly at Ohio State Buckeyes and now with the Dallas Cowboys, and about how when he first decided to go to college, where you think parents send their children off to go gain independence and higher learning, that his parents are like, well, we have to go with him, because throughout his life, he's always had us and we've always been there for him. And we're not sure if he can go off to college and be a man. And so some people would say, well, that's great. The parents wanted to follow and enjoy his college experience with them. Well, on the other side, you have to question, well, when is he going to grow up? When will he have to make decisions on his own? And then we fast forward to an unfortunate situation playing out in Dallas right now about his, sexual assault, and whether or not the league's going to allow him to domestic, whether or not they're going to allow him to play or not play and being appealed. But I have to go back to the mental health and how he was nurtured and socialized as a young man.
Yeah. So how do we, what needs to happen to address this in any way to make the situation better for athletes? Because once you get to that level, you're going to, especially with the money being what it is, you're going to be in that spotlight no matter what.
Well, there's no doubt you have to have trusted people that are around you, and they may or may not be family members who can help provide you with options in terms of the decisions that you make. I also say, you know, in high school and college, we talk about now's the opportunity for you to make your mistakes before you get really large out there or you have a lot of money to lose. But because they are so guarded that they really don't get that opportunity. And maybe we need to go back to middle school and say, all right, here's your Twitter account. Let's practice. And, you know, whether it's a fake Twitter account or not, but we have to practice what is a proper response. What is the best way to make a statement about something that you believe in? And then I am a big believer in counseling for elite athletes because they have so many pressures and they're asked to win, win, win. They can never turn it off. They always have a spotlight on them that they need professionals, people who've been trained to navigate their language and their body language to be able to give them sound advice as to, if not just for a place to vent. But I'm a big supporter of mental health counseling.
I also like the idea of teaching, and not even just athletes, but just all kids at a young age, elementary, middle school, how to use social media. What are the pitfalls? How do we avoid them?
Yes, because we've heard about the very, very unfortunate and tragic incidents around bullying coming from social media, where, you know, one student is outed, so to speak, for whatever types of behavior, whether it's attractiveness, sexual orientation, just anything, not being an athletic, and people just pile on and pile on, or one person will just continue to pound, 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 and then eventually something unfortunate happens. So definitely agree. We need all of this and then some.
Dr. Deborah Stroman, Kenan Flagler Business School, thank you so much.
Thank you.